This hour of the Trevor Carey Show, sponsored by OsborneHomes.com.
They're trying to stop me because they know that I don't answer to them. I answer to you. It's true.
I have this strange notion. We are a democracy. Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
What is he even saying here?
We talked a lot about with the governors about what the immediate needs are. We're going to employ the Defense Reconstruction Act to be able to go out there and dictate companies build and do following things. We need much more testing. We need much more masking. Wow. We need gloves.
Finger on the nuclear codes.
I asked the National Governors Association through the Governor Cuomo and the ones on the line to let us know what their shortages are.
Ramble. We saw him doing it in his basement all summer long, right? Yeah. In case you missed that right there at the start, that was Joe Biden as candidate saying you cannot legislate by executive order unless you're a dictator or something. Well, he has more executive orders in the first week than any president in history. So, Joe, I guess that makes you a dictator, right? What? Huh?
It's racist.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Al.
I have this strange notion. We are a democracy. Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus.
All right. That was on ABC News before the election, talking about how you just can't do your executive orders. Fast forward to the first day of Biden's presidency. I mean, before the first week was over, he'd signed 37 executive actions. He probably didn't even know what he's signing. He's got his pen, his paper. Oh, yeah, Obama. All he needs a pen and a cell phone, right? Just a pen and a cell phone. Right? That's all he needs. He signed more than three times as many orders as the previous four presidents combined. In the first week, President Trump signed 4. Obama signed 5. George W. signed 0. Bill Clinton, he signed 1. No other president has ever signed as many as Joe is. So I guess, Joe, in your own words, what does that make you? That's right, a dictator. A dictator signs 37 executive orders in 6 days. Oh, he's giving gifts out galore, man. One of his best friends right now are illegal aliens, asking Congress to give a pathway to citizenship for every illegal alien presently living inside the United States. And to make them feel better about it, he's going to do a change in U.S. immigration law to replace the phrase illegal alien with non-citizen to describe them, non-citizen. But unless they eliminate or the filibuster, he's likely not going to get it passed by Congress. So that's why that's all important. Stephen Frank talking about the filibuster, where they just get up and talk for 24 hours straight. You get everybody so worn out, they just go home, and then you win the battle. So, but he didn't decide to wait for Congress to act. He signed an executive order that shut down the border wall construction. Goodbye, jobs. He shut down the Trump administration Remain in Mexico, even though that was worked out with cooperation of the Mexican government. It was a solution to a problem. But now, no, catch and release. There you go. Catch and release by an executive order. What is that? That endangers the law-abiding citizens in America. I mean, he's talking about even illegal aliens that were convicted of serious felonies. You know, already they had their full and fair hearing. They were ordered to be removed. And no. Hold up. Wait a minute. Something did happen. U.S. District Judge Drew Tipton. Judge Tipton, God bless you, Trump appointee, yesterday issued a nationwide temporary restraining order against the dictator's executive orders. Immediately following the inauguration, Texas Attorney General Kim Paxton took him to court. He said it would injure Texas. He said border states like that, we pay a high price And during the Trump administration, Texas, Arizona, Indiana, Louisiana signed an agreement with Homeland Security that would give them a 180-day period for consultation before the federal government could take any action like Joe Obama's trying to do right now. His executive order's in violation of this agreement. And that's what Judge Tipton in Texas put forward. So there you go. The very same rules. It's called the Administrative Procedures Act. That's the same rule, you know, like when Trump was president and he said he's going to end DACA, right? We're like, yeah, good. All right. He's standing up for us. And then a judge steps in and halts it, right? We're like, how's the judge? Well, two can play at that game. It's called Administrative Procedure Act, and that's exactly what happened. Joe Obama's order that stopped ICE from deporting criminal illegal aliens stopped in its track by this judge. He also, you want to know some of his executive orders? He signed in the first week states that the term Chinese virus or China virus is now banned. That's real. The White House website confirms that he signed this executive order. The order directed the Attorney General to work to prevent discrimination and hate crimes. We're now literally anything as being a hate crime. He admitted back in October that anybody who legislates by executive order should be considered a dictator. Listen to him back in September, and we're going to hold him to this. We actually created a wall of Joe Biden's promises, a sound audio wall. We just drag the files over. We'll have a big old wall of his promises. It's called keeping accountability. Here he was back in September. Listen to all the jobs he's going to do, and how many jobs did he eliminate on day one? Exactly.
The GDP will grow by $1 trillion more than it would under Trump and 7 million more jobs than under Trump. And the reason is when you allow people to get back in the game and have a job, everything moves. Everything moves. Right now, you got the opposite.
Right now, the opposite. Nothing's moving. It was a COVID lockdown. He had the best economy in recorded U.S. recent memory history. There. How did Chuck Schumer react?
Incited the erection. Insurrection.
Here's Biden on outsourcing.
It's estimated we're going to create somewhere between another 4 and 6 million jobs just by doing that. But what's happening now? Under his trade policy, a lot of this is going overseas. You get a benefit from going overseas if you have much of it being made overseas. So if you send it overseas, you get a 10% tax increase on your on the product.
And this was an ABC kind of town hall thing. And the guy that asked the question in the split screen for this audio I was looking at today, the guy on the other side was like looking like, what are you even saying? The look on his face was like, I'm not even following you.
If you make it in America and you bring it back, you get a 10% growth. If you bring back a company and you're going to open up an old facility, you get a 10% tax credit for all you invested.
Yeah, and then the guy got the microphone back and he asked him about his hairy legs.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand.
I'm not going to play all that again. I tell you, they're going to make America California. That was an LA Times thing, to make America California again, you know. Here's how many Californians are in the Joe Obama administration. Health and Human Services, the Treasury, Homeland Security, and Energy. Of course, Kamala Mala's VP, Nancy Pelosi rules the House. And I just wonder if do they see the same state that we see? You know, Kamala, Nancy Pelosi, do they see what we see around here? Right now in California, we have the nation's highest poverty rate, and we're number 50th. We're getting the vaccine out. We're horrible at everything that we attempt to do. It didn't used to be that way, but you see who's running it. We got the widest gap in California between middle and upper middle income earners of any state. You see that in Fresno, right? You see it all over the state. And right now, if you have enough people that run companies that, you know, are big tax base, think Elon Musk. But if you have a lot of many Elon Musks decide to flee California, this is from the franchise tax board data. It's really a handful of taxpayers keep the state afloat. 46% of all personal income taxes, that's almost half, are paid by the top 1%. I'll say that again. 46% of all personal income taxes, and personal income taxes is what keep the state moving, keep the wheels a-turning. They're paid by people in the top 1%. 2/3 of all income taxes are paid by the top 5%. So they're that wealthy, that prosperous in business because they're smart people. You know, I probably don't agree with their politics at all, but they're smart individuals to be able to pull that off. And people always, they act like anybody that's wealthy was just a trust fund baby or something. Wouldn't you almost hate to be a trust fund baby no matter what you did? They're like, you were a trust fund baby. You know, they always said that with Trump. Your dad gave you $1 million. Yeah, but he turned it into billions. Give the guy some credit. Right now, 2/3 of all our income taxes in California paid by the top 5%. What if that top 1% just says, we're out of here? There goes 46% of your personal income taxes in California. What if just half of them do it? What if 10% of them do it? And the old middle class here just continues to fade. In this state, when you see the median home prices or just a median apartment in the Bay Area, and median means, okay, there's not roaches running around everywhere and the doors lock and the windows close. Just an average place. It's over $3,000. I don't know. Right now, as we stand, a quarter of California's small businesses, this is according to Opportunity Insights, they're an economic indicator, and they're a tracker that's based at Harvard. A quarter of our small businesses, 25% have closed since January of last year. 25% of our businesses are shut down. More likely to disappear as we continue on with this. And I'm telling you, the economy, and while you got Joe Biden in there, I mean, you get ready for $10 a gallon gas. Are you ready for that on top of all this? A group of House Republicans led by, I don't even want to use the word led because that means like leader, Kevin McCarthy, they wrote it opposing a new policy directive. They say that acts as a 60-day moratorium on new mining, oil, and gas leasing on federal lands. They're warning President Joe Obama about the loss of jobs, decrease in the GDP, because he talked about job creation. We heard him talk about all that he's going to bring, right, on jobs.
The GDP will grow by $1 trillion more than would under Trump and 7 million more jobs than under Trump. And the reason is when you allow people to get back in the game and have a job, everything moves.
Right.
Everything moves. Right now, you got the opposite.
Well, we lived through everything moving for 3 years of the Trump administration, and boy, he was on a roll. These group of House Republicans laid out some consequences to where Joe will not be able to get those numbers that he's talking about. They're talking about a loss of approximately 1 million American jobs with his mining, oil, and gas leasing when it has the trickle-down effect. He said a decrease of U.S. GDP by $700 billion, loss of one of the most significant sources of federal revenue during a time of federal deficits. We've seen a net increase of crude imports by 2 million barrels per day. That weakens our security, increases our trade deficit, makes us dependent on foreign countries. They know this. During the election, both Basement Boy Biden and Kamala Mala vowed that they would not take any steps toward banning fracking, right? They walked that back, that promise back, didn't they? That's another thing I need to walk back. Now, in the real world, we call that lying. They lied. Well, he walked it back. Those words that they use in D.C., well, there you go. There's the economy. Did anybody see that helicopter chase here in Fresno? That was crazy, man. There's no audio to it, but it literally looked like one of those LA freeway chases. I'll share it with you next, and slow down out there. Slow down. And if you start to hide your plane, my advice is, I don't know, just pray.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. Trevor Carey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
I tell you, it could be some dark landslides coming down up there, especially around the Creek Fire area. A lot of rain coming down. Slow it down out there. Please slow it down, Hot Rod Henry. They're all over the valley, aren't they? I lived in California my whole life. I know how to drive in rain, and I'm just going to keep going 78 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic. because I'm on the 99 and I got to get in first place. Something about the 99 makes a percentage of people in the Valley feel like they're in the Indianapolis 500. Like you see them, right? They move in, they cut in, and then there's like eight cars in front of you, and then you just I don't understand it. I think the 99 is kind of an uncomfortable freeway to, and the reason it's one of the most dangerous is I know why it is, because you got old Melvin from Madera who needs to go down to get him some grain and feed, right? A few miles down the road, so he just jumps on 99, right, and he merges on at 42. He's in his truck. He's going to go get some grain. You got all the ag going around. And then you got Sacramento Sammy that has to get to San Diego. And he's going 83. And he's like, ah. So you have that I need to get from North California to Southern California. You got those drivers. And then you got the commuters that are just taking a few miles. And I think that's the reason why. And we'll do a study on that. We'll get Fresno County Health back with the data. Almost as good as, I'm not going to say good, almost as... not even exciting. Riveting. Riveting makes you want to look at it, right? As an L.A. car chase was. This crazy driver was arrested, led deputies in a high-speed chase through Fresno County yesterday. Helicopter saw the guy speeding, running red lights near Chestnut and Shields. Several law enforcement agencies were involved in the chase, but as we know now, that sometimes they got to stop doing it because of safety concerns. You know, we're high-speed chase going, and then mom steps off the corner with the baby stroller, and, you know, they would... they said the guy was driving the speeds up to 100 miles an hour before he crashed into another car. The car was damaged. Suspect had to pull over at Manchester Mall. He then ran from the car, ran into a store. Officers cornered him. He refused commands. They were forced to tase him to bring him into custody. So a little video action going on right there. Action in the Bay Area right now. The names of presidents, conquistadors. No, not Kevin De Leon. We'll play him in a minute. But even a current U.S. senator removed from 44 San Francisco school sites. The school board got together and they decided to deem what was unworthy of the honor. Who did they axe? Abraham Lincoln. Unworthy. Imagine what he went through in his life and the school board members up there saying he's unworthy of their honor. How dare. George Washington High School, gone. How dare. Dianne Feinstein Elementary School, gone. How good. How dare. You would have thought maybe they would have pulled in some historians, right? You got to get some information. The San Francisco School Board was sitting around going, well, was that named after Theodore Roosevelt or Franklin Delano Roosevelt? They didn't even know what they were going to take the Roosevelt off, but they didn't know which Roosevelt. I bet you if you went around the trustees there and you really ask them about what they actually know about history, I bet you it would be shocking. Like the what you might think the second, third grade level of knowledge of history. I bet it is. I bet it is. If you went around that San Francisco school board and said, what years were Abraham Lincoln president? What proclamation was he famous for? Did he win a second inauguration? How did he die? Do you know who shot him? Do you know where his sympathies were, the shooter? The sympathies lied? Do you know any of this? I wonder how many would. I wonder if even Dianne Feinstein would know. But she's gone as well. Gone. See you later. We got the great reset going on, man. This is all part of it. If you get the opportunity, we've had him on the show a few times now from over in the UK, James Dellingpole with Breitbart. He wrote a really good article about We're Not Evil claims the great reset, the Davos over there, the great reset individuals. You know, the system's broken. They're going to rebuild it. You heard Joe Biden talking about it. Building back better, the great reset. This is all part of it. Got to get rid of all those racist names that are up there. Gotta go. I played it, maybe twice an hour. I think I have. And as I was telling Stephen Frank last hour, I said when I woke up this morning, first thing was, let's see if it rained or let's see if it's raining. You know, it's exciting when it rains in California. And my second thought was, I get to play this on the show today.
Madam President, today is Tuesday and time for the flag salute.
Mr. De Leon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It'd be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Indivisible. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
He's now a city councilman for L.A., the former Senate pro tem, Kevin DeLeon, who changed his name to DeLeon. He was just Kevin Leon, but that didn't have the ring that he needed, right? He had to become the David Lee Roth of politics. Is David Lee Roth his real name, even? Who knows? Who knows? But you know how musicians, they'll change their name. Actors do. Politicians normally don't change their names, but he did. Kevin DeLeon with the Pledge of Allegiance. That's funny. Snow, rain, we got it all going on. There's even flooding going on. You got to know what to expect with what's coming. The worst is still yet to come. If you're a farmer out there and need it, it's probably not the worst. You're going, send down the blessings from above. Fresno Sheriff's PIO, Tony Boddy. We're going to talk to him next.
The Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 AM 1400 and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
I was talking to my friend Steve Weber back in New York, and I was saying, man, it's cold out here. And I told him the conditions. He said, that's a nice spring day in early April, man. And I go, I know, but it's something for us, and it's a big deal when rain hits here. People celebrate because we need it with ag, but it also creates a lot of issues. And, you know, in New York, they don't have mountains that have been burned down where mudslides and all that can happen. We're going to get the latest right now. Fresno County Sheriff PIO, Officer Tony Boddy. Officer Boddy, welcome. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Trevor.
Well, right now it looks like Madera County seems to be, or unless you got an update here in Fresno County, what's the lead story with what's happening right now?
Well, you know, we're really just keeping an eye on things right now. Nothing has popped off as of yet. You know, we obviously know that the storms really just come through overnight, and we're going to be going through Friday. So it's a winter wonderland up there, up at the top of the four lanes and beyond, seeing a lot of the webcam pictures out of Shaver, and they've got quite a bit of new snow. So we're just going to, you know, wherever the need is, go to it. If we've got issues on the road and we need to help motorists, something's happening at somebody's house, we'll go there too. But so far, so good. And we just want people to make smart decisions and stay safe. And if you really don't have to travel out in these conditions, just hunker down, stay home for a little bit, and let this thing pass. And once we get a little bit of sunny skies, go out and enjoy that snow.
And, you know, people are saying, then why are they talking about this right now if nothing's going on? I'll tell you why we're talking about it. Because once something happens in the middle of it, you don't want to go, well, we should have told you not to. Right now, Madera County saying declared a state of emergency, a flood advisory for parts of the valley. And we don't know how to deal with floods, rain. You know, it's all new. You see something in front of you, or even people that, you know, a lot of people lock down. They go, hey, let's go up to the snow. It's just a little bit of ways. And you take a couple turns, and before you know it, you're not used to the snow, and you get stuck. And they're talking about feet of snow up there as well. And, you know, that's why we're saying to people, just don't be idiots. And I learned from Colorado that if you're in the snow and you turn your car on with your heat running and it starts to snow behind you and it gets up on the tailpipe, you'll die inside.
Yeah, well, you know, if you don't have much experience driving in the snow, this is probably not the opportunity to try and gain that experience. Right. We just had some cars earlier this week up by Cressman's. We had a handful of vehicles that we spent a couple of hours trying to get back on the roadway and had to call tow trucks because they got a little slushy and they slid off the roadway. You know, we have some cars that just, you know, they're great for the city and commuters, but they don't do well in feet of snow. So, you know, even as good of a driver you think you are, or you got good tires, some cars don't perform as well. And I think it's important for people to know too that whether you have a four-wheel drive or not, you got to carry chains and traction cables with you. Make sure they're ones that fit your vehicle. If you've never put them on, do it in the comfort of your driveway at home. Don't be fiddling around on the side of the highway trying to do it for the first time. You know, repetition will make you that much better. So if you do have to head into those elements, you'll you'll be best prepared.
Were you spying on me in 2002 when I went from Sacramento trying to go up to Tahoe, and it was chains on, chains off, chains on, chains off, and on the side of the road, I probably, that's the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life, and probably shouldn't be alive today. Those trucks going by, and there I was out there trying to do it. I didn't do it right.
Hey, nobody's going to fault you for pulling up a YouTube of how do I put chains or cables on my tires. I mean, you know, do it right. Learn from somebody who knows how to do it. They'll tell you easy little tricks so that you're not burning up half your day trying to fit your hand in there and cinch them together. And again, you got to look up and make sure they are the proper ones to fit your particular tires. And you got to put them on the right tires depending on what type of a vehicle you have. So there's information out there. There's people you can ask at auto shops. You know, do get the right information before you're out there in the frigid temperatures with cars whizzing past you.
Yeah, and we're talking about possibility of 3 inches of rain between now and Friday, and that's more rain from a system than we've had in the last 3 or 4 years, and they're even saying the Bay Area will see more rain in 24 hours than over the last year. So a lot of this is coming, and we don't know what it's going to create. I want to transition here with something that Operation Off-Ramp that Mayor Dyer's put into effect here, and I saw some officers and some workers up there clearing people out. They got 42 people into homes. Officer Boddy, what's it like, the homeless in the county? You know, we always think out more rural that it's not a big deal. And I've had some people tell me it is. Has it gotten worse? What's the condition right now?
Well, you know, it still continues to be a problem. And, you know, we collaborate with our city partners well. But the trouble is that when you clear out one area, for those people who don't want to seek assistance, they'll move into another area. And to go from county to city can be just a matter of a few hundred feet sometimes. So we do kind of go back and forth. Whenever we get that information, we go out there and we try and bring in the advocates that can find these people housing, give them opportunities to get off the streets and get their life going in the right direction. So it does continue to be a problem. Obviously happy to see the work that Mayor Dyer and his team are doing to address that issue. And we'll be there to partner with him in any way we can to try and improve that.
Yeah, I guess a lot of those individuals in Fresno in the city limits might not be squatting per se, but in the county with a lot of rural land that's owned by farmers and whatnot, there are a lot of squatters. But I've been surprised to see some of the laws where it's difficult sometimes to actually get somebody off your property, isn't it?
It can be, yeah, because it really comes down to the property owner recognizing it's a problem before it becomes too big of a problem. And then there's paperwork and there's certain amounts of time you have to let go by. And once the ball gets rolling, you know, our civil unit will go out and post, let people know, you know, with a notice that, hey, you've been notified that you need to be out of here. We usually do it within 5 days that we want them gone. And a lot of times we get that cooperation, but if they're still there, then we are going to show up to with environmental health and other agencies to help clear the place out, and we'll try and get those people moved along. And you know, we'd rather put them in a semi-permanent housing situation than just see them want to go off to another property and kind of restart the cycle all over again.
Fresno County Sheriff PIO Tony Boddy, Officer Boddy, in closing here for our mountain listeners up there, Madera County right now has declared a state of emergency. If there are folks up there and they want to be able to keep alerts, you know, seeing if there is an evacuation, because we do know in the Creek Fire area right now, it is, you never know. You know, you don't really get a landslide alert, you know, like a tornado's coming kind of alert. It just happens when that rain comes down. Is there outlets online they can follow?
Yeah, absolutely. So given the magnitude of the fire that we had in the fall, we knew that that burn scar would be pretty severe. And so we put together a map back in November, which we didn't have the weather, so we didn't have to utilize it much. But now's the time for people to go to FresnoSheriff.org. We have a winter storm map on there in a couple of different places. One of them, you'll see a snowflake, and it actually says winter storm map. You click on that. It's going to show you a color-coded map. if you were there during the Creek Fire, you knew about this map because you were punching in your address to see if you were impacted by an evacuation or a warning. It's the same type of deal here. You're going to put in your address. It'll take you to the zone, and through a color coding system, it'll tell you if it's an evacuation, if it's a warning, or if there's nothing going on right now. And that's where we are right now. There's nothing been issued, but that can change in a moment's notice. We will update it real time if we get word that evacuations are needed. So not only will you possibly be getting the knock on your door, you could be seeing it on your computer screen. And much like what Madera issued yesterday, we want to echo that it's always a good idea to pre-plan, have those go bags ready, so that if you do have to get out of there, you've already put some thought into what you're going to need, and just put you in the safest position possible to succeed.
Fresno County Sheriff, PIO, Tony Boddy. I normally don't say this to you, but let's hope we're not talking this time tomorrow.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's hope. I think the snow is working to our benefit here, because obviously that's going to stick and hold a little bit. The rain is worrisome, especially at the lower elevations. If it hits some of those areas and causes some mudslides, that's going to be pretty chaotic for people. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that the drops land in the right places.
All right, Officer Boddy, thank you, sir, for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Trevor. Take care.
You too. The areas right now that are classified as extreme risk areas are Huntington Lake, Shaver Lake, Big Creek. And you heard right there, you can go to Fresno. I wrote it down. Where did I write it down? Fresno. Oh, here it is. FresnoSheriff.org. That easy. And they got the map on there that you can go see. And the atmospheric river, we have not talked about that in a while because we haven't had one of these in a while. Across the state, flooding, and they forced evacuations as well. Now, that worst fire season ever in history. As Officer Boddy was talking about, they were thinking about this back in November and preparing for this. But, they, I mean, you prepare to help. There's not much you can do. You can't go up there and regrow grass and put sod in everywhere. He did say the snowpack will help. But there's areas, just thinking in the Bay Area, that aren't going to be getting snow in those, you know, Napa, all the fires. I mean, just this year, but for years, you know, the fires of the last few years. You know, it destroys all the vegetation, and that would normally suck up that moisture and hold the stuff in place, all the debris that can happen. If you've ever seen a landslide, you know, when you watch something on YouTube that is a disastrous kind of thing, then suddenly YouTube thinks, oh, they're into disasters. So they'll start sending you disaster videos. I saw this one of a landslide somewhere like in Sweden or something, where they, I mean, literally buildings, and the people are like getting out of their cars, like going, like having a good time, and then suddenly they're like, I don't know the language, and they turn around and literally the city's coming at them. I mean, it looked like it was completely out of you know, Brad Pitt should have been running, like a movie, man. And so that's real. I mean, it is. This atmospheric river that's right now above, as I was saying, evacuation orders are in place in San Mateo, Santa Cruz, and Monterey counties. A lot of them are not leaving their homes. Cal Fire is going around warning of the hazardous conditions. More than 345,000 were without power this morning. Evacuations issued just this morning over there. It's almost as if, are we being cursed? Twitter snitching. What did I say? Twitter snitching. Telling on people. Oh, it's set up. I'll tell you how you can do it next.
The Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk. 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show. On Power Talk. 96.7 and AM 1400.
East Germany, China, the Soviet Union, Twitter, it all fits. They've announced a new feature called Bird Watch. Have you seen that on your Twitter, Bird Watch? And you've heard about it. All right, maybe you've heard about this. It's encouraging you to censor your fellow Americans. Police them. Flag them. If you think, or to use David Valadao's word, believe that they're spreading misinformation. So they've turned us all into a tattletale nanny state. Ditch your seriously, why? For those of you that can remember life prior to social media, it was better, right? It was better. Twitter said they're going to want to broaden the ranges of voices that are tackling misinformation. They're censoring. That's all it is. Birdwatch can allow you to identify information in tweets they believe that you might believe is misleading. You can write notes that provide informative context. I wonder if they will allow conservatives to write or God-fearing Americans to write something. Absolutely not. That would be taking down. Now, here's what Twitter said. We know this might be messy. Oh, really? Censoring and spying on your fellow citizens? We know it might be messy and have problems at times, but we believe this is a model worth trying. We invite you to learn alongside as we continue to explore different ways of addressing a common problem. All right. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, he got suspended for Twitter for violating their rules. You know, he brought up fraud in the election, and he's gone.
All my friends that lost their YouTube channels, they lost their Facebook, 2 million followers. One guy has 12 employees. He's gone. His livelihood he built up is just gone. Any business, churches that supported the president, that's a whole other issue. They're being attacked, and they're going to be just, you know, canceled.
I don't know if you remember the show. A couple years ago, when they went after some far right, as some people might even say, extremists, but I didn't think they were far right extremists, but I guess that makes me a far right extremist then. But they went after certain people, and everybody on the conservative side thought, well, they won't go after the big institutions. Oh, yes, they are. Now they're trying to actually take Fox and Newsmax off the air, you know, suppressing the New York Post. I never really looked at them as a major conservative outlet, but they were fair. And they could be coming right after you, right, Mike?
Fake stories coming out to attack my Lindell Recovery Network, which helps addicts across the country. It's just a shame. If they can do it to me, believe me, they can do it to anyone out there.
Yep.
But I'm not backing down. We cannot back down out of fear this time. Nobody can.
Totally,
I told these Fox droids, you guys, these aren't real people. These are trolls and bots. The real people will buy the products and will support you.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to build our own infrastructure, it looks like. Congressman Matt Gaetz is on his way out to Wyoming tomorrow to stand up to Liz Cheney. Here he is on the conservative censorship.
They had no problem framing these destructive riots that consumed our country over the summer as peaceful protests. But the real danger, the thing that we absolutely have to go and stop, are conservative influencers sharing a populist view of the world. Give me a break.
Yeah, Washington Post did an op-ed from this Stanford guy here. Alex Stamos is his name. Just flat out censoring conservatives. They're not even hiding the fact.
Now we're talking about domestic audience in the United States. And the challenge is going to be partially that, you know, ISIS did not have a domestic constituency in the United States Congress. But there is over half of the Republicans in Congress voted to overturn the election. And there will be a continual political pressure on the companies to not take it seriously. So I think first, you have to focus on those violent extremists, and those companies have to be brave in that way. And second, we have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences.
Turn it down to reach these huge audiences. The fact that Republicans are not out on the steps of Congress right now, I mean, going livid, it scares me. Because if there was ever a time to stand up, but I guess they're all suppressed by, you'll be a domestic terrorist supporter if you stand up, right?
Are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN, and they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes. This is, you know, allowing people to seek out information if they really want to, but not pushing it into their faces, I think is where we're going to have to go here.
McCarthyism. Nolte wrote a great article on Breitbart about it today. It's private business suppressing free speech. That's what they did in the 1950s with McCarthyism. It was the studio heads, the producers, all of that. It wasn't the government doing it, and the Democrats for decades would be like, we could never go back to that time period. Well, knock, knock, here we are. Here we are. And you know what? It does say a lot about daytime CNN programming, right? If people on YouTube have more viewers. Notice he had to use CNN for his analogy right there. It's going to be a big night tonight. Fresno County Republican Party meeting their board discussing David Valadao. I really do hope they do the right thing and censor David Valadao and ask him, demand that he come in for some questioning. Michigan, Arizona, Wyoming GOPs have censored several lawmakers who part of the 10, the nasty 10 that supported impeachment. You know, we got a purge, and man, a purge needs to happen. We need a great nation. And let's see right here. The National Committee Man for the Arizona GOP said the Republican Party here is not just to elect Republicans. It's here to hold Republicans accountable to the party platform. He said party discipline means adherence to the party platform. Party discipline means pulling someone aside behind closed doors and telling them you're not living by the party platform. This Arizona GOP guy said to ask him, how do we fix this? I don't even want to ask Valadao how to fix it. He can't. You can't undo being a turncoat. Did Benedict Arnold get a chance to ride his horse into Philadelphia and go, well, you guys won, so I'm really sorry that I gave up our fort locations up here on the Hudson. I'm sorry that I sold out our country. Well, you know what we need to do? Speaking of country, the Pledge of Allegiance is so important. Kevin DeLeon, please, for one finale.
Madam President, today is Tuesday and time for the flag salute.
Mr. DeLeon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It'd be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Under visible. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Is he drunk?
For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Kevin, if it makes you feel any better.
I'll make mistakes as president.
Yeah, you're just a city councilman. That's okay. Hey, stay slow out there. Stay safe out there. Thanks to Agent Squires. Thanks to all the new listeners. God bless you. God willing, back tomorrow at 3. John Girardi on the radio next. Good evening.